After World War II in Germany, there was a cathedral that was completely destroyed. But there was a statue of Jesus that some German students found, because some German students went to this particular cathedral and they kind of wanted to do some restoration. They found this statue of Jesus that said, "Come unto me," in the inscription, but with the statue, the hands of Jesus were completely destroyed. Now, they wanted to restore the hands to the statue, but they were unable to. So instead, what they did was on the inscription, they changed the inscription to say, "Jesus has no other hands but ours." And see, that is a biblical thought that is based on Romans chapter 12, because what Paul is saying is that when you were baptized into Christ and you were clothed with Christ and you received the Holy Spirit into your life, Jesus now has new hands. Jesus now has new eyes. Jesus now has new feet. Because the Word of God says that those who believe in Christ have been clothed with Christ. Paul says, "It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who now lives inside of me." And the Holy Spirit is, in this passage, gifting you with spiritual gifts. What that means is that the Holy Spirit gifts you at your new birth with special abilities for the purpose of uplifting the body of Christ. So the body of Christ is a metaphor that Paul is using to describe the church. So the church is never described as a building or a sanctuary, but it is described as like a body. And so each member of your body has a different function. You have eyes and ears and feet and legs and arms, and they are different members of your body, and they all have a different function. In the same way, what Paul is saying is each one of you are members. You're interconnected to each other. And so with that interconnectedness, a healthy body will be utilized when all of the members of the body of Jesus Christ are uplifting each other using their special gifts that they have been given by God. All right? So that is what this passage is leading us towards today. And so let's just kind of walk through it like we always do. We're going to just go verse by verse through Romans chapter 12, and we'll start in verse 3. It says this, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." So now, the first thing that Paul is going to get after when he talks about the body of Christ or the body of believers is our relationships. See, because it doesn't matter if we all are like gifted in a lot of different ways, if the relationships aren't there, it's not going to work out, right? So if you have a team, this kind of reminds me of like my baseball team in high school. We had a lot of guys that were talented, but there's a lot of guys on the team that just hated each other. There was one time when we got into, there was a fight between two guys in the dugout. And the whole game had to be put on hold because there was a little bit of a fight. And that was our team. And it was two guys that were really good at baseball. Okay, but the relationships weren't there, and so that was bringing it down. So what's Paul talking about? He says, if those of us who are gifted must not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Sometimes what this can cause is excessive criticism. So some who are thinking too highly can be excessively critical, sometimes of ministry leaders that are leading a particular ministry, and then that can kind of lead them to stay where they're at, rather than addressing the issue biblically with humility and forgiveness and reconciliation, there can just be this desire to remain where they're at instead of addressing it and moving forward in a biblical fashion in their lives. So now while Paul is getting at those who can become critical because they're thinking of themselves too highly or whatever the reason is, I'm going to flip it a little bit here because I think that there's another issue. I think sometimes we don't think of ourselves highly enough. Okay? In the past 7.5 years that I've been here as your pastor, I think that is actually a more prevalent situation that I have experienced is you guys are just like, I don't know if God's going to use me for this. I don't know if I'm ready for this. I don't know if I'm good enough for this. Maybe there's guilt or there's fear. But I want to remind you of the character of God and the grace of God for you and how he's gifted you and how he wants to use you. In Rick Warren's book, Pastor of Saddleback Church, he says this as a reminder for you today. He says, if you're not involved in any service or ministry, what excuse have you been using? Abraham was old, Jacob was insecure, Leah was unattractive, Joseph was abused, Moses stuttered, Gideon was poor, Samson was codependent, Rahab was immoral, David had an affair and all kinds of family problems, Elijah was suicidal, Jeremiah was depressed, Jonah was reluctant, Naomi was a widow, John the Baptist was eccentric, to say the least, Peter was impulsive and hot-tempered, Martha worried about a lot of things, the Samaritan woman had several failed marriages, Zacchaeus was unpopular, Thomas had doubts, Paul had poor health, and Timothy was timid. That is quite a variety of misfits, but God used each one of them in his service. So that's the character of God and the grace of God for you, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made just in the fashion that God has made you with. And so a great parallel passage to Romans 12 is actually 1 Corinthians 12. And in verse 26, it says this. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And so we're all interconnected as the body of Christ, and we're called to use the gifts that we've been given to uplift and encourage and strengthen the rest of the body of Jesus Christ. Okay, and what I want to do is just kind of, you know where you're at when it comes to your service in the Lord. So you know, no one else knows except you, where you're at in your service. And I'll just ask some questions to help you know where you're at. Do you believe that you're using all the gifts God's given to you? Are you doing too much and you're going to kill yourself? Are you doing too little and you just want to do the minimum? Are you doing nothing with the gifts God's given to you? See, now that's for you to just ask yourself and to examine yourself. That's not for somebody else to judge. You are a person in Christ. You have to go to the Lord with your own relationship with God. But I just want to lay out just some ways that I believe that you can use your gifts in relationship, because see, Paul's hitting on our relationships first, because when the relationships are strong, everything else takes off. Okay, so here are some ways that we can strengthen the body of Christ at St. Paul Lutheran Church and School. The first one is showing up. Okay, so what am I talking about there? What I'm talking about is we have several different ministry teams at St. Paul. So if you're a greeter or an usher, altar guild or reader or communion assistant or nursery or children's church or whatever God's called you in your station of service is this. Now, we all get sick and we go out of town, right? That's normal. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with I can't make it, but we're strengthened when we keep a calendar and it's important to us, and then we find a replacement so that we're not just not showing up and then the burden falls on the same people all the time. And so strengthening our teams occurs when we really take ownership of the gifts God's given to us and we realize that we're not isolated individuals, but we're part of a body and we're interconnected. And God wants us to uplift and strengthen the body of Christ. And that's what he has called us to do. Okay, the second thing is word of affirmation. Words of affirmation. Obviously, like if you're trying to do ministry and you're just stepping out in faith and you're taking a leap of faith and you're saying, hey, I want to manage this ministry. But all you receive is criticism, it's probably not going to last too long, right? See, now some of you are thick skin, so it's all good. But others of you are thin skin, and so it's not encouraging. And so what I would encourage us is in the same way that we love on our children and we love on our families, we're a family too. See, so God's calling on us to love on each other and uplift each other. And some of you do that so awesome, and you have the gift of encouragement. You're encouraging, encouraging, encouraging. You're like, God bless you in your ministry. That was awesome. And you're complimenting. And see, then that strengthens each other in our works of service as the body of Christ. Number three is bearing with each other. What is that? What's he saying? That's actually Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 2, bearing with each other. What's he talking about there? What he means is we got to put up with each other. Bearing with each other is putting up with each other. Okay, now, what does that look like? Is it just like the world puts up with each other? You know? Or is it different? Here's a question. How patient is God with you? Like, there's that habit that you've had. You had it for like 10 years, and God loved you the whole 10 years. Or maybe there's a habit now you have, but God still loves you now in your weakness and in your sin and in your mistake. He loves you. And see, so it's the gospel that leads us, the grace and patience of God that leads us to be patient with each other's weaknesses. Because we're the body of Christ. Forgiving each other. Sometimes people are held back because they have a root of bitterness towards somebody in the body of Christ. See, now I want you to know, if that's there, Satan wants you to stay right there so that you don't move forward as a servant of Jesus in your walk with the Lord. See, but God's will is that you would pursue whoever it is that you have a problem with and say, listen, and try and resolve it. Because, see, we're the body of Christ, and we're called to be healthy, and we're called to uplift each other, and we're called, James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your sins and pray for each other. Confess your sins to each other. If you, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, if you have a complaint against somebody, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Ephesians chapter 4, don't let the sun go down on your anger or your bitterness. And see, when we take the gospel into our hearts and just go after it, it's hard, I know, to just talk to somebody about it. But remember, Jesus confronts us. And so we need to sometimes address whoever it is that's holding us back. And then the last thing, address what's holding you back. What is it? Is it fear? Is it insecurity? Is it, what is it that's holding you back? And so you have to do that. And I just want to say one thing, because I think that some of you get to an age where you physically are going through much stuff and pain that you can't do as much as you would like to do. And I just want to give you a word of relief, because sometimes you're like hearing this passage on spiritual gifts and you feel so guilty. That's not what God's will is for you. If you have physical issues in your life, maybe God just wants you to be on the prayer chain and uplift the body of Christ in prayer. I want to say this. prayer chain, prayer team, that is the foundation of power for this church. That's where we get our grace. That's where we get the Holy Spirit, is through prayer. So if your role in where you're at physically is just to pray, praise be to God, that is fine. That's okay. Don't have guilt over where you're at in your walk with the Lord. Okay, what's the point? Healthy body, healthy relationships help us to not focus inward upon ourselves, but then we're able to focus outward in health. When we're focused inward too much on different situations and problems, if we're focused inward too much, it can hold us back from the mission. And what is the mission that Jesus gave to the body of Christ? The mission is to share the good news with other people so that they come into a personal relationship with God, have their sins forgiven, experience redemption, and are born again and have a new relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Those are the words of the Bible. And so that's our mission. And so when we're healthy, then we can focus on what God has given us to do. All right. So far, Paul has just described the healthy relationships that we need in the body of Christ. All right? See, but now he's going to go take it a step further, and he's going to talk about the foundation for spiritual gifts and why he gave you the gifts that you have. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. Or rather, we're just going to go 4 through 6 first. It says this: "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace." Okay, so grace is given as a gift for salvation, but then grace is also given spiritually to gift you in your gifts. "Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them." Hey, what good is it if you have an unwrapped gift at your house, but you've never opened it? Some of you have unwrapped gifts, and I want you to know who the giver of the gifts is. It's not your mom. It's not your brother or your sister. It's the one true and living God who loves you. Okay, so unwrapped gifts need to be utilized, need to be opened. Okay, I want to tell you this. Every one of you is put on this earth for a reason. You are not here to get, but to give. You are not here simply to consume, but to contribute. You're not here just to take, but to add. Did you ever wonder why God doesn't just save you and just immediately take you to heaven? Why doesn't he just do that? Why don't we just go? God has a purpose for you while you are here on this earth. Okay, I want to tell you this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this: "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for" what? "For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Okay, so we're saved by grace, but then we're his workmanship. What does that word mean? That means that God made you beautiful just the way you are. That God designed you just the way you are. That God has gifted you spiritually with special abilities just the way that you are, by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you would utilize those gifts, how he has worked you, so that you would do good works that he's entrusted to you. Okay, and so I want to ask you this. 2 weeks ago, we went over Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. What did it say? It said this: "By the mercies of God, offer your whole life as a living sacrifice to God." That is your spiritual worship. What did it say? Don't be conformed to the value system of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And then by testing, you will be able to approve what is the will of God, what is his good and acceptable will. What's that passage saying? And why is it just two verses previous to the passage we're at now? What God is telling you is this. Unless you give your life to God and surrender, unless you are surrendered to him, you're not going to use everything he gave you. So there's another invitation today to give your life over. Stop being held back. And then God is going to have his way in you, and you're going to realize your full potential in Jesus Christ and not be held back by stuff any longer. This is just a follow-up. 2 weeks ago, I asked you, I gave you a challenge. Okay, remember what it was? It was read the Bible 15 minutes a day, okay, for 7 days. How many of you made it? Okay, you can raise your hand or not. It's okay. All right, that's okay. I love you. It's fine. Okay. But let's try it again this week. And I'll ask you again next Sunday. Okay? You guys are like, dang, he's going to ask us? Really? Dang, man. Okay, so, but let's try it again. 15 minutes a day for 7 days. I want to tell you this. When we all start reading, all this starts taking care of itself. Because the power comes from God to do this text. It's not going to come from our flesh. We're too weak. We got too many problems. We need God to feed us with his word, feed us with his spirit, empower us with his gifts, and then we're going to be able to love each other and serve in the way that God has called on us to serve. Okay, what I want to tell you is this. Rick Warren has this great quote that is a very Reformation idea. It says this: regardless of your job or career, you are called to full-time Christian service. A non-serving Christian is a contradiction in terms. During the time of the Reformation, they thought it was the priests, it was the nuns, it was the monks. Those are the people that serve God. But then there's this other class of people, and they did kind of more non-spiritual things. See, but Martin Luther said, no, you're all children of God. You all have been enlightened with God's gifts, and you all have a, what he called a vocation, a station in life, and a ministry that God has given you. And I want to say this, your first ministry is to your family. Okay, so if you're killing yourself this year with VBS and your marriage is not where it's supposed to be, then we'll get somebody else for VBS. You take care of your marriage. See, your ministry is to your husband, your wife, your children. If you have children in the home, to your children. That's how God has ordered things first. Elders are called first to have their families managed and cared for and shepherded first, and then they can serve as elders. 1 Timothy chapter 3, Titus chapter 1. That's an example to all of us. And there's forgiveness, there's grace. So, you know, if it's not going the way you want, go take it to the Lord. He's a God of redemption, a God who takes people to different places. So, here's what I want to tell you. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, to be a sin offering for you, so that in him you might become the righteousness of God. Jesus had your sin transferred to him, and then in an exchange, a gracious exchange, he gives you his innocence, his redemption, his love, by shedding his blood to forgive you of all of your sins. And here's what I want to say. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead also now lives in you. The same spirit that made Jesus alive, Ephesians chapter 2 says, now you have been made alive with Christ and you're seated in the heavenly places with Jesus Christ. So now if you know that God is knocking on your heart right now and he's inviting you to serve and to get plugged in, I want to ask you, is it time to receive the grace of God in your life and get plugged in and get going and serve the Lord? Perhaps that's what God is doing in your life right now. He's calling on you to say no to excuses, but yes to Jesus Christ, and to give your life to him and to serve the Lord in the manner in which he's gifted you. All right, so now, so Paul's given the relationship foundation. He's given the spiritual gift foundation. Now he's going to get specific concerning some particular spiritual gifts he gifts the body of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8 says this. So he says, let us use them. Let us use the gifts that God has given to us. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, that word doesn't just mean in the Bible telling the future, but it means forth-telling the word of God. Sometimes it's also being able to interpret what God is doing in your life or in your family or in your church. Because there's a mystery sometime. You're like, why is this happening? And see, those with the gift of prophecy can say, this is what God is teaching us right now. Okay? Also, it is saying this, if service in serving, those who have the gift of serving are the ones who just can't stop serving. They love serving the Lord. They don't need to be motivated. They don't need this sermon. They're already doing it. The one who teaches in his teaching, these are people who are gifted to teach. They can communicate an idea to people so that they can understand it. Here's what this passage is saying, St. Paul. There's teachers in this room. There's teachers in this room with knowledge who are able to teach. See, what did it say? There's spiritual gifts of teaching in the body of Christ. And we have several lay teachers in our church, do we not? Okay, so we have children's church. We have growth groups. We have Sunday morning Bible class. There's probably others that I'm not thinking of right now. But there's a lot of lay teachers in our church. Now, if we just had, let's say, two teachers, how many people could we reach? Probably just as many as those two groups or classes could reach, right? But then what happens if everyone who has the gift of teaching is teaching a group or a class with a good curriculum and with the knowledge that God has given to them? How many people can we reach? Okay, so I obviously teach on Sundays. I teach the gospel class on Sundays as well. That's our doctrine class for prospective new members and inquirers. I teach a Friday night group that's a growth group, and we just go over some Christian studies. Right now we're doing Timothy Keller, The Gospel in Life, and it's a great study. And then also, this is just so those of you who have teenagers or your teenagers, I'm leading the youth group every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m., and that is another avenue where I'm at. And so if you are interested in joining us, the invitation is open. 6:30 p.m. every Wednesday, Timothy House. We got a great group of people there that are hungry for the Word of God, and it's awesome. So I invite you to come. And then also, what do we have here? The one who exhorts in his exhortation. Those are those who have the gift of encouragement. Those are the ones that give you high fives every Sunday, okay? And they're encouraging you, words of encouragement. They pick you up when you're down. They speak godly counsel and wisdom into your life to help build you back up because you were down. Also, the one who contributes in generosity. There are some who have the gift of giving. My wife's uncle had the IRS go after him. Okay, why did the IRS go after him? They wanted to know if he was lying about how much he was giving. They're like, this guy's weird. He must be lying. He's saying he's giving a lot. We need to see some receipts. So they came to his house, and he's the CEO, or he was the CEO of Cessna Planes. Okay, so he has some money. They found that out, and they said, hey, we want to see your contribution statements. And he pulled out all his contribution statements. And this man's giving thousands of dollars to the cause of Jesus every year because there's needs out there. And they just said, you know, this guy's just weird. This guy's just a Jesus freak. Okay, this guy is just on fire for the cause of Jesus. There are some of you who have that gift, and thanks be to God for you, because there's needs and there's funding that's necessary to fund the cause of Jesus Christ. And then it says, the one who leads with zeal. Are there leaders in this church? It says that there are leaders in this sanctuary. There's leaders in both services. God's gifted you to be leaders. Some of you have this gift, and some of you are like, no, that's not me. I'll follow somebody else. But some of you are gifted to lead and to take a group of people somewhere. So there's not just one leader or one teacher, but there are spiritual gifts of teaching, spiritual gifts of leading. God wants to use you, and the more leaders there are, the more healthy the body of Christ is. And then finally, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. What are acts of mercy? Biblically, acts of mercy are people that love the poor, they love the elderly, they love the addicted, they have a heart for, let's say, single mothers who are struggling. Whoever the weak are, people with this gift have acts of mercy, and they want to serve those that are in need. So there are some who just are like, hey, I want to be a part of care ministry. I want to visit some people that are homebound. See, there's a desire that God's put in their heart, and they're already volunteering before the invitation is there. That's a spiritual gift. Okay, in summary, if you take Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, those are the spiritual gift passages, there is a summary of leadership gifts, speaking gifts, and serving gifts. You get to pursue it and say, God, how have you made me? How have you uniquely made me and positioned me to serve in the body of Christ? What's my job according to the Bible? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. This is what the Bible teaches. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers. So God has called me to be your shepherd and your teacher. And in another place it says, to do the work of an evangelist. So those are all callings that God's given to me. And it says, my job description is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. So that's what I'm seeking to do today, is to equip you, to guide you and empower you to realize who you are in Jesus and then to serve in the capacity that God has given to you. Now, is a healthy body a healthy if people are in positions where they're not gifted? Not really. What is this passage teaching us? We must empower people in areas where we're weak because they're gifted where we're weak. Now we're healthy. See, this is the biblical thought process. Okay, we're going to equip others in places where we're weak because, you know, we're going to suffer and the body will suffer if we know that we're not really good at that. Okay, so you guys love football illustrations, right? Okay, so can the offensive lineman play quarterback? Can the defensive lineman play safety? This is going to be too easy to score. You just throw a bomb over his head because he's too slow. He's 350 pounds. Okay, it's not going to work. Okay, can the linebacker play place kicker? You're going to lose a lot of games because he's not going to make the field goal. Okay, it's the same idea biblically. Each member is uniquely gifted in the body of Christ. And when we're all in our positions that God has given to us, there is going to be uplifting and strength and health as we serve where God has served, called us to serve. How do you figure out your spiritual gifts? You know, you could fill out one of our surveys, and you guys all did that. Okay, but here's another way. Serve. Try things out. When you serve, you're like, oh, I'm kind of good at this. I'm effective at this. That's how it works. And you might realize, I'm not that good at this. And that's okay. That's kind of how it went for me with a lot of different things. I remember I asked Daisy if I shared with you this story, and she said I haven't. So in college, there was this retreat in Malibu, Canada. It was over a weekend, and I was excited. And we were all this beautiful place, Malibu, Canada. And there was a band there, and they just were awesome, and they were rocking it. They were a really good band. And there was this guy playing the drums. Okay, it's one of these. It wasn't like this, but it was one of these kind of drums. So I thought I could do it. Because, see, my idol is like Corey Fitzsimmons. See, I wanna play the drums like Corey. Okay, see, so I've always wanted to. But anyway, I tried, and I said, hey, I asked the leader. I said, hey, is it okay if I play the drums tonight? And he said, well, let's let you try it out first. He's smart. You got to have tryouts, right? Because, you know, so then I tried it out, and he said, hey, why don't you do it like this? I'm going to show you, and you got to emulate me. So he just did, anyway, he did his thing. And then I tried it, and I was like, boom, boom, and he just looked at me like, and I said, yeah, you don't have to say anything. It's not happening. Okay, so now, that's how it is for a lot of us with some things. But that's okay. There is no shame. It's okay. God forgave me for being weak at the drums. It's all good. So you just keep on serving, and you find out what you're good at. And God has made you good at a lot of things. So, I'm going to get specific. I want you to know how God has uniquely shaped you. And so, here's what we're going to do. We're going to close this thing out by you get out your bulletin, if you will. Why don't you open that thing up, grab a pen or a pencil. If you want to use the pencil in the pew in front of you, there are pencils there. If you have a pen or a pencil in your purse or whatever in your pocket, go after it. Go after it. So there's a blank page when you open up, right? On the right side, there's a blank page. You see that blank page? Okay. So on that blank page, here's an exercise I want to take you through, and I want you to know your shape, how God has uniquely shaped you. Okay, so S, write down S, and S stands for spiritual gifts. I'm going to name some spiritual gifts in the Bible, and then I want you to write down two or three or one or five or whatever that you believe God's gifted you with. All right, so here they are in the Bible. Prophecy, that's speaking forth the word of God, teaching the word of God. Service, you love to serve. Teaching, you love to teach children, teens, adults, groups, that's you. Exhortation, that's encouragement. You love encouraging other people. Words of affirmation. You love picking people up when they're down. You love giving godly counsel to people. Generosity. That's, you just love to give. You're a cheerful giver and you give a lot. Leadership. You like to lead. You don't like to be on the sideline. You like to be in the spotlight. You like to lead others. Acts of mercy. That is when you care for the poor, the widow, the orphan, the addicted, the elderly. Wisdom. People with the gift of wisdom also make great counselors. Wisdom, those people can take a situation and give you really good advice and counsel. They're problem solvers. And they have a lot of wisdom, like Solomon. He had wisdom. Knowledge. That means you are hungry for knowledge. You got your study Bible. You're reading the commentary. You're reading the footnotes. You have Christian books. You want to read. You have a store bank. And it's really a heart, an appetite you have for knowledge. Faith. If you have the gift of faith, your O is positive. Power of positive thinking. Okay, so you're always like, God's going to do this now. God's going to do that now. You drive people crazy because you're always super spiritual positive, but that's just a gift that you have. Administration. Some people see administration as not spiritual. It's in the Bible, it's a spiritual gift. It can mean governing. It can mean managing, organizing. Evangelism. You love to share Jesus with others. If I put you in a room with a non-believer, I'll give you 15 minutes before Jesus comes out of your mouth. That's somebody with the gift of evangelism, okay? So for me, mine are prophecy, teaching, knowledge, and administration. Okay, so by God's grace, I'm able to use those as your pastor. What are your gifts? What are your spiritual gifts that God gave you? Okay, H, let's do the H. H is heart. What do you have a heart for? Who do you have a heart for? Who do you have a burden for? When you see people that are suffering and you're like, man, I got to do something about that. Do you have a heart for young families to know Jesus? Marriages to know Jesus? Do you have a heart for the widow? Do you have a heart for people who are addicted to drugs? Do you have a heart for the poor? Who do you have a heart for that God has really placed it on your heart to lead? And maybe you just have a heart to lead others in worship. Okay, let's go to the A. A is abilities. All of you have abilities God gave you at your physical birth. And then you have spiritual gifts God gave you at your spiritual birth. But see, we're going to do abilities now. Abilities is like you're just a good communicator. You can fix computers. You're good with your hands. You're good at interior design. You're good at sports. You're good at music. See, those are abilities God has given to you. Okay, let's go to the P. P is your personality. What personality did God uniquely give you? Do you like to be around people? You're an extrovert. Okay, you're like me. If I'm not around people, I get depressed. I need to be around people. See, now if you're an introvert, you need to have quiet time to get re-energized. So if you're an extrovert, maybe you want to do something that involves a lot of people. If you're an introvert, maybe you want to just be in the background serving the Lord on the soundboard, or you're in the background serving the Lord in some way that's not so much in the spotlight. What's your specific personality? God can use it, whatever it is. And then E is, what experiences have you gone through? And this is important. Some of you have gone through a divorce. Well, maybe God wants to use how he shepherded you through that and what he taught you, because you know the pain that's involved there. Well, there's other people that are going through that pain too, and they need you. Okay, and see, I haven't gone through that, so I can only teach biblically, but you can teach biblically and from your experience. What have you gone through? As you know, Daisy and I went through some miscarriages. Why did that happen? I don't know. But I do know that God can use that experience for me to minister to other people that suffer through that too. And if I didn't have that experience, I wouldn't be able to connect with people's hearts when they come to me with, now what? You see? What is your shape? What's your shape? You are God's workmanship. You're not by accident. It's all not by accident. Hey, now, as you go through your shape, you might be burdened like, does God want me to do more? Hey, remember, it's the grace of God that leads you to delight in his will and to serve him. And I want you to know this. You all have unique gifts and a unique shape, just as you have all a unique heartbeat. Did you guys know that every one of you has a unique heartbeat and a pattern of beating that cannot be repeated by someone else? Did you guys know? Okay, a lot of you got passwords, right? You got your credit card, password, email. you're logging into your bank account, you're logging into whatever you're logging into, right? Well, do you know what your password's going to be probably moving forward? In Taiwan, they're making a technology, right? They've already made it, where you're going to put your fingertip or your palm, and it's going to detect your unique heartbeat. Now, that's some good security right there. It's your unique heartbeat that you have. It's your unique shape that no one else has but you. To be used by God with the grace that he's given you to uplift the body of Christ so we're able to go forward with our mission that he has commanded us to go forward with. Here are your application questions for today. How has today's text changed the way you view yourself? How has it changed the way you view your church? How will it change the way in which you use your gifts in and for your church? God has made you beautiful the way you are. As he's gifted you to serve, so use your gifts to serve the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says this. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. I love you, and now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and guard your minds through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.